Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hello. Thank you for going to the Les Schwab Twires.
Twires?
I don't know. Hello. We appreciate you going to the Les Schwab.
Why can't you say tires?
Vive Clicquot. It's the same
thing. Just say tires.
Where do we pick up from? Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sinner and the Saint podcast. I'm Luke Anderson.
I'm Will Darkins, and this is sponsored by Les Schwab Tires. Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yep. Enjoy.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
The Sinner and the Saint, a shadowy flight into the dangerous world of men who do not exist. Luke Anderson, a young loner on a crusade to champion the cause of the innocent, the helpless, the powerless, and men 25 to 54 with a median household income of $78,000 per year.
Now, there is one exception to that.
No one cares.
Shh, watch your mouth.
Will Darkins, a disappointing Oregon State fullback with a receding hairline, desperately trying to hold on to the past.
Don't mind that I'm just kind of sitting there looking into space. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
The Sinner and the Saint Tailgate Show, powered by Frostbrewed Coors Light. A brilliant, imaginative, unrestrained exercise or display.
I'm pleased that you're pleased.
On 1080, The Fan.
All right, welcome to hour two of this fine radio broadcast. If you missed any part of hour one, we talked about Mario Cristobal, Mike Riley, NFL, and some idiot that microwaved his head to his concrete.
He's a celebrity, is what he is.
He's a moron.
He's a voice of a generation.
If you missed any part of that, you can go to 1080thefan.com and download the podcast. Just go to On Demand. And it's right there. It's right there, hour one. Don't do it now, because you're getting hour two right here. We've made a decision to talk about the Portland Trailblazers.
Stumbled into that one. We made a decision.
We did. I'm just not excited about it.
Well, this goes back to our poll question that we had up before the show. Again, it is on at Sinner and Saint 1080 and at 1080 The Fan on Twitter. You can vote right now. It's, when should the Trailblazers fire Terry Stotts? 27% of you say now, right now. 11% say after Rockets' ass kicking. 8% say after Warriors' ass kicking. And 54%, by far and away, say after the season.
Right now, the Blazers are in sixth place in the West.
Hey, they're a playoff team.
They're playing better defense than they've ever played.
Yes.
They're boring. Why are they so boring to watch? Their offense stinks. They have no ball movement. They'll probably beat the Rockets tonight without Nurk, and then everybody will get excited again, and then they'll suck for eight games. What's wrong with this stupid team?
I have to kind of think that the better defense has now kind of made them crappier.
Well, no,
it's like they're a B minus version of Memphis.
Well, I just said they're, well, no, they're ahead of, where's Memphis? Memphis is, holy cow, the Memphis Grizzlies are 13th in the West.
But you know what I'm saying, right? No, like, but, their style of play.
Yeah, fine. Here's my thing is, I'm just surprised a team with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, and you throw in Shabazz Napier playing like a man possessed, Pat Connaughton's playing well. It all sounds like a team that should be fun and exciting, but just unlikable. I don't know what it is. You watch me just kind of go, ugh. Like, remember that run with Nurk last year, and everybody's excited, and everybody had Nurk fever?
20 games.
Now you're like, he's kind of a baby. And he's just, meh. Can't score inside. Like, he's just, meh.
Well, the thing that infuriates...
whole team is, meh.
The thing that infuriates me the most is the fact that they'll give Nurk the ball, and then he'll just roll into the paint and just throw up this weird hook. Like, it's not even like, it's not controlled. There's something about his game now that was different from those last 20 games.
He's like, missing that fat 40 pounds that let him push people off the block.
Well, not only that, they're using him in pick and roll more. And honestly, he's not very good in pick and roll.
No, and they can't figure out their rotations. And you don't know who your other two starters are ever.
Yeah.
It's weird. But they're in sixth place. They're fine. Like, they're sitting. Okay, right now, you've got the five teams ahead of them. I mean, it's kind of a weird West right now. Rockets are the best team in basketball. They're playing them tonight, right? They're 19-4. And you've got the Warriors at 21-6. They play them after that. Then you've got Spurs, Timberwolves, which finally making their surge that we expected.
Timberwolves look good, man.
Yeah, but for the last 4 years, the Nuggets look pretty good. But you're ahead of the Jazz, the Pelicans, the Thunder.
Well, let's
Clippers are out of the playoff picture. Right now the Grizzlies are.
Let's also just remember that this is all before the All-Star break. Even all before Christmas. Christmas is kind of that marker in the NBA where you have your first quarter and you go, okay, I kind of get a good feeling of what's going on here. Like, if you would have judged the first 10 games of the NBA season, you would have thought, holy crap, the Cavs suck. But the Cavs just ended like a 13 or 14 game winning streak.
13 game winning streak.
So, yeah. I mean, again, we have to give this team time, but it does seem floating towards mediocrity.
Well, you knew they'd be mediocre, but you thought they'd be fun to watch mediocre.
I thought they'd be better than mediocre. I kind of thought they'd compete for a 4 spot.
Okay, and they're still in the running for that. I mean, they're right. Well,
but three straight home losses doesn't make me think it's going to keep going that way.
I understand that. But if you said right now, okay, so the Blazers are 13-11, the Nuggets are 14-11, and the Timberwolves are 15-11. So, I mean, you're right there. Now, going the other direction, you have teams with 13 wins. So the Blazers haven't played as many games, if you're picking up what I'm putting down. But the Jazz are 13-13. The Pelicans are 13-13. Those are your playoff teams. I mean, that's your 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They're right in the thick of that. They are competing for a 4 spot right now, which is fine. But when I watch them, I feel like you're watching a team that is out of the play. Everybody keeps saying they're awful. They're not awful.
They're just blah.
They are, and they're inconsistent, and they're not. You thought you would add defense to this team, and you'd be like, now we got some.
Here's an interesting thought on the Bridgeport Beers text line 55305. So now we preface this with, you know, when should we fire Terry Stotts, right?
Yeah,
this texter takes another angle. He says, why does Neil O'Shea get a pass here? He's the one that built this team with two small guards that don't play defense. One of them should have been traded last year for a taller defensive-oriented player. And that kind of goes along with all the hype of saying, hey, let's ship CJ off and get something better. Or maybe not better, just different, sorry.
Yeah, and mix it up, but then you don't want to affect the team chemistry because he's become a leader on that team is what you kind of worry about. But the big offseason rumor was we're going to get Carmelo Anthony. Where are the Thunder right now?
Yes.
Sitting in ninth?
Yes. I will just rub that in anyone's face anytime I have the possibility to do it.
Just rub the mellow
I loved how many fan listeners texted in and were just like, what's so stupid about it? Getting one of the best players. How could you not want that? This is exactly why you don't want that. He plays zero defense, and he's at a point in his career where he's just like, look, where can I make the most money? I'm just trying to rake this stuff in so I can just live nice. Like, I don't care anymore.
I don't think that's why he went to Oklahoma City. If you're going to live nice anywhere, it's not Oklahoma. I think he thought he had a chance to play for a championship there with Paul
George.
Well,
he sure isn't trying.
No, God, that looks awful too. So, but what do you do if you're the Blazers? 55305, Bridgeport Beers text line. I'm out of answers. Here's what's happened the last couple of years with the Mariners. They always miss the playoffs, but they've been fun to watch. At least they're making changes, and I know they just missed out on Ohtani or whatever. But usually I can get to three quarters of the way through the season where you realize, they're just not good enough.
Yeah.
But they've been fun to watch. The Blazers have been the same way. And at least you go, all right, well, listen, they're not going to win a championship against the Warriors, but you're going to have nights where they go out and scratch a claw, and they're going to knock them off for a game. They're going to go out, and they're going to compete, and they're going to, you know, put up some crazy shots with their two guards, and it's going to be fun to watch. But even the Moda Center seems listless right now. There's what's wrong and how do we fix it? 55305 is the Bridgeport Beers text line. I'll let you throw in your choices.
To me, I kind of almost look at CJ McCollum. I kind of agree with this texter in terms of trying to find value in CJ. When CJ's on the court and he is the primary ball handler, where he's the guy who's going to be kind of creating the offense, pretty much nobody else gets involved. It's really hard to have a CJ McCollum-led offense because he thinks he's Kobe Bryant at times. He takes it into his own hands and he tries to create offense when there's really nothing there. That's why Shabazz Napier has been such a huge part of this season so far, is the fact that you can bring in a guy who actually runs the offense and picks up where Damian Lillard left off. Now, I'm not taking Damian Lillard out of that classification because he does that stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm infuriated when he comes down court like three steps past the half court line and just jacks a shot up. Like, sometimes it goes in and I'm pretty stoked, but then when it doesn't, I go, what the hell are you thinking? I point a little bit towards CJ. I point a little bit towards Nurk, but I also just point towards the general thought that I don't think there's enough talent on this team now to actually take them to that four spot level.
The worst thing that happened is both guys are too good at making bad shots that they're willing to take those bad shots and have the green light to take them. I'm going to go to the text line again. This one, it's Stotts. Look at the Spurs and the Celtics records right now. You make a case that Portland's roster is better than those two teams. You have no Kawhi Leonard. You lost Gordon Hayward in the first game, so those two teams are playing without stars, and the Celtics didn't miss a beat. I mean, the Spurs, you see Ginobili's shot. Speaking of Spurs and Lakers, you see Ginobili's shot over the Celtics to win that game?
Yeah, that was pretty dope.
I mean, they just keep winning. And is Manu Ginobili better than half the roster for the Blazers? I mean, at this point,
he honestly might be.
Well, no, but he's their sixth man. Well, sure, but because you get the most out of a guy like that, you know? I mean, that's I guess, part of the point here is physically, does he have the tools? Yeah, he's got the clutch gene like nobody's business, but Lillard's proven that he is too.
Yeah.
You put him in an opportunity to do that. I mean, certainly not a guy that you would add to a roster at this point.
Manu?
Yeah.
Manu? I could see Manu getting traded to the to Cleveland by midseason.
I found the solution right here. The text line.
Oh, did you? Oh, you saw that one too, didn't you? Yeah. What is it?
Definitely missing Alan Crabb.
Yep. Yeah. Alan Crabb was the very thing holding this team together.
He was a glue guy. That's why they paid him $87 million.
Yes. You can see it.
Yep.
I mean, there's no way in hell Alan Crabb is like an A-minus version of Evan Turner or anything.
Dealing Alan Crabb is the death nail for Neil O'Shea.
Yeah. God, you know, that's what he's going to do in his biography when he starts writing it. He's going to go, man, everything went wrong when I let go of Alan.
The title will be, why did I let go of Alan Crabb?
Where did you go, Alan? a life of Neil O'Shea. A life of screaming and being pissed at media members.
I got rid of Crabs and everything went downhill.
Usually that's supposed to help.
Yeah. You would think getting rid of Crabs would make things better.
Yeah.
But not the case.
Not for some people.
Not for Neil O'Shea.
It's got to be a hard life. God. He had Crabs. Now he doesn't have Crabs. And now it's bad.
McCollum struggles when Evan Turner brings the ball up. Not good together. So McCollum gets the ball too late in the shot clock and is struggling. Nothing easy.
There's no easy shots in the NBA.
So this is suggesting that he needs to be a better off the ball player.
Yeah, whatever. Look, when it comes down to it, just they're super average. They kind of suck. You know what I mean? Like, you watch and they'll have this lead of like 8 for a little bit, and then you just can call it. You go, third quarter, this is all going to crap. It's just going to happen. It happened in the Pelicans game. They were behind at halftime. They got back up by 8 or so, and then halfway through the third, you saw they started missing shots, and you go, this is when it's all going to go to crap. And this is pretty much this team every single year. This is what they do. They live on that little average plateau scale, and then they get to the playoffs, and then they lose. And that's it. And that's what you're going to have to accept for a while. Until LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, let's see, Russell Westbrook, Kyrie Irving, and Ben Simmons leave the league, I don't think we'll win a title.
Well, what if we just get them all in free agency?
Like all of them?
Yeah, all of them. At the same
like
time.
Blow the cap out?
I'm gonna end with this. I have to make a correction on it, but Olshay's book title, they have New Jersey. I'm going to switch it with Brooklyn because that's where he went. The Day I Gave Brooklyn Crabs.
That is great. But the Crabs has been helping Brooklyn. Pretty good.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's why it's the book title.
Yeah.
The Day I Gave Brooklyn Crabs.
What a dirty man.
Yeah. I think that's it.
Okay.
What should we do next?
I don't know. You wanted to talk more about NFL, right?
What?
What about the Heisman?
What?
Aren't you pumped about the Heisman's trophy ceremony?
No, I think it's stupid.
Well, how about you tell me why next?
Sinner and Saint, 1080 The Fan. You play the song twice? What if I'm late,
got a big day, gotta might have.
Played the song twice.
Sorry, I got distracted. Lee Corso is bringing in a bunch of Rams.
What?
Lee Corso, he's leading a bunch of Rams into the Army-Navy game.
Why?
Because I think that's what Navy is. They're like sheep or something. Or what are they? Are they Rams?
I don't know.
Or they're the midshipmen, but yeah. their mascot is a ram.
That doesn't make any sense. They don't have a ram helmet.
No.
They've got cool helmets. I like the ones that have like the horizon on them.
Yeah.
The white and navy below.
That makes no sense.
When was the last time Lee Corso did anything that made sense?
Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah. They played that song twice. That was my point.
Oh.
Whatever. Heisman Trophy. Are you excited about it? Does this get you excited, the Heisman Trophy?
Well, sometimes it does.
It's the most arrogant award in sports. It's like they do the awards night for college football, and they give out the Doak Walker and the Blitnikoff and all that garbly gook. And then they have to have their own special day for the Heisman Trophy. And here's yet another year where it's already decided and we know who's going to win it, and it's going to be boring.
But I think it's a good book end of the season.
I get that, but why isn't it part of the college football awards? Why can't you just be like, all right, and best picture is?
Because it's the best player. It's a society. You know what I mean? The Doak Walker is not a society. The Heisman Award.
That's why
is,
you lump all those cruddy ones in with the same thing.
Yeah, but the Heisman has a different air to it. It's a society of players who all, during their year of football, whether it be their senior year or year, you know, junior, whatever, it was their time that they defined the league. And I think
college football.
Yeah, the college football landscape. To me, that's kind of what it is for most players. Like Marcus Mariota, when he won the Heisman, he defined college football that year. I think that Baker Mayfield doesn't really define college football because he's the
runaway favorite. I don't think Lamar Jackson did last year.
I kind of think Lamar Jackson did, though.
Last year? Louisville? Yeah. Last year was defined by Clemson-Alabama rematch and Deshaun Watson.
But that was only at the end of the year. I'm talking about the whole scope, the meat of the season.
The Louisville football defined college football last year. When people hearken back to 2016, everybody's going to think of Louisville and Lamar Jackson.
Well, yeah, because when you go back to seasons, you think about Heisman winners.
Well,
I think. Let's look at Heisman winners. I mean, this is where it was leading anyway.
Oh, you want to go to Jason White? Sam Bradford?
Hey, Jason White is a great insurance salesman.
Damn right he is. He actually insures Jeff Fisher's jet ski store.
Jetsy?
Screwed that up. God, talking is hard. 55305, who's your favorite Heisman Trophy winner? The only thing I like about the Heisman Trophy presentation is when they pan across all of the former winners and Doug Flutie has to stand next to Vinny Testaverde and there's a 24-inch height difference between the two.
Yeah. Mine is that I don't know if they're going to invite Johnny Manziel.
Well, they can't invite Reggie Bush.
That's ridiculous.
Every time you read an article about the Heisman Trophy, they have to mention Reggie Bush got his taken away.
That's so bold, dude. I hate that they did that.
Okay, so again, you're having a hard time convincing me why the Heisman Trophy matters. And well, again, why can't they do it with all the other college football awards? We have an hour special just for this stupid thing, and you couldn't give the Ray Guy Award away the same night?
Well, you're in advertising. You know it's about the money.
You make more money. All you do is you make the other thing bigger. You do a 4-hour show, and it's the Heisman Trophy is the cap.
You can't get somebody to watch something for 4 hours.
I know, but you get everybody to tune in at the end. You can get the sponsors to pay for it.
What about Derrick Henry? That was a kind of bleh Heisman.
There's a lot of guys where you go through, and it's the best player on the best team. It's not the best player in college football. And that's the thing that you're saying. If you're trying to find a guy that defines college football, you can just be like, wow, Derrick Henry is great playing on the best team in college football. Mark Ingram's got one of those, too.
But then you had other guys like Jameis Winston. I felt his year. It wasn't his senior season. His junior season. Or no, I'm sorry. It was his sophomore season. He, I think, did define football.
It was
football
his freshman year. Jameis Winston won as a freshman.
He didn't. I don't think he did he?
Back-to-back freshman one, Manziel. Then you've got the list in front of you. Look it up.
What? I thought it was his sophomore year.
No, it was the back-to-back freshman. His sophomore year, because he's a redshirt. And then he came out after his sophomore year. And his backward stumble, bumble, fumble against Oregon was the last.
The wind fumble?
The wind.
Cam Newton was a good one, though.
Yeah, Cam Newton.
Cam Newton pretty much was college football that year.
I'll give you that one, but how much do you consider their NFL career when you look about a Heisman Trophy winner? That guy deserved it.
I don't anymore. I used to, and then I don't anymore because you have, I mean, we can go over that list, right? Matt Leinart, no. Troy Smith, no. Tim Tebow, no. I guess Sam Bradford, he stayed relevant, but he didn't transfer over in the NFL. Like, he wasn't as great as he was college. Mark Ingram, again, a guy pretty middle of the road.
Well, he's had a good year this year.
He did. But over a career span, I mean, you're not going to say Mark Ingram's, you know.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is how much weight do you put behind it? You look at Troy Smith, who won by the largest margin ever because you had to eliminate Reggie Bush from the category. He won by the largest margin ever, and Troy Smith was not an NFL player. I mean, he played a little bit, but certainly didn't have a career. Archie Griffin's the only guy that had back-to-back Heisman trophies, and he wasn't a great NFL player.
Okay, but here's your Troy Smith. Here's who Troy Smith was going up against that. Like, that was 06. Yep. He was going up against Darren McFadden at Arkansas, okay. Which, by the way, that wasn't the first time Darren McFadden lost the Heisman. Brady Quinn.
Sure.
And fourth was Steve Slayton.
Don't know who that is.
Steve Slayton? West Virginia? Rich Rod?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Who else was in that? Colt Brennan? Colt Brennan's junior year? Mike Hart out of Michigan? I think sometimes when players win, it's just because of the fact that they couldn't find anybody better. And that's pretty much Baker Mayfield.
This year.
Yeah, that's
what Baker Mayfield, I think, had a great season, and he's the best playmaker in college football.
Well, now, it's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the difference?
Well, you can make plays, and you can be exciting. You could be Eddie George. Or you could be...
Derrick Henry is the best playmaker. No, the playmaker, I think, goes with some excitement. But the thing is, if he goes on and wins a national championship, then you look at the Heisman, and you'll give it a lot more reverence. You'll be like, yeah, and then you remember what he did against Alabama, Clemson, blah, blah, blah. People will be very excited if he goes out and wins a national championship. But again, they give this award away before you even start playing bowl games.
So, wait, you think they should play the Bulls and then give it out?
No, I just think it's a stupid award. I'm going to keep doing it, and people are going to get all excited. I've asked people to send who's their favorite. No, nobody sent anything. Got one text on here. 55305 is the Bridgeport Beers text line. Who's your favorite Heisman Trophy winner? Here's your response. Navy's mascot is a ram like the Auburn Tigers is a war eagle. People are more excited about that part of the conversation. We're currently boring everybody. What we need to do is talk more about Terry Baker. Go.
No.
What? He won a Heisman.
Oh, God.
Who's a better Heisman Trophy winner, Terry Baker or Marcus Mariota? I'm trying to get people excited about this conversation.
You're doing the bait switch thing.
I'm trying to.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Do you think that Vernon Adams got crapped out of a Heisman?
Well, he was injured, man, if he'd have stayed healthy.
He really was. And that year, Oregon should have been up for the national title.
Let me tell you about LaMichael James and his season. I mean, if anybody should have gotten a Heisman Trophy.
He got hosed.
Totally. And why can't they give it to the Rodgers brothers, huh?
Oh, they should have. Yeah,
James and Quiz totally should have won it. And Heisman Trophy.
Why did Marcus Mariota win it 2 years in a row?
Yeah, why didn't he win it 3 years in a row? Let's be honest. And are you really telling me that Justin Herbert missing 5 games is going to keep him from winning it this year? He should be in New York.
Yeah, he really should, though.
Yeah.
Did you see his passing percentage?
Yeah, I mean, he was dynamite.
It was really good. Did you see him against Wyoming?
Did you see how good he was against Arizona State? No, I mean, wait, no. What?
Oh, man, I hate Chip Kelly.
How can he go to UCLA? Should have come back. If they were smarter, they'd have fired Willie Taggart before they should have gotten Chip Kelly.
What they should have done was hire Chip Kelly to teach Akili Smith how to coach and then hire Bilotti as your AD.
All I know is Willie Taggart is going to be a bust at Florida State. Watch, they won't win a game next year.
No, not at all.
They may never win another game again. That guy totally cursed himself.
In fact, I heard he's up for the Giants job. Did you hear that?
Yeah, he'd probably leave after a week at Florida State. Totally makes sense.
Probably.
That's his MO. What a jerk.
That's what he does.
Hate that guy. Hey, let's do more NFL stuff next after news. How much did your opinion of the Seattle Seahawks, not only playoff chances, but chances to win the NFC and represent them in the Super Bowl change after last week, if at all?
Not a lot.
No?
No.
Jesus, there were some hits on Russell Wilson that just looked brutal.
Yeah.
Like,
and
there was that one
right
where
back
they,
up.
There
smiled.
Was that one where they slow-mo'd him. You remember that one where he like he was throwing it away, but it almost looked like he was throwing behind himself. And they do the slow-mo of that corner just coming in and putting his helmet right in Wilson's chest plate, and he just like you just see it in his face, like, oh my god. He can't
wait, what
take...
what sound did it make?
He can't take more of these hits.
Well, he can. That's what he does.
But like, it seems like this is the same thing every year. Like, he takes these kind of hits, and then by like the end of the season, he's like partially injured, and they can like.
That was
barely
only last year. Last year was the only year that I can remember him hobbling. I mean, he's generally been pretty healthy going into the playoffs. Now the secondary is, you know, a little bit crippled, but I think they played really well, especially with all the filling guys, and they get Deshaun Shedd back this week, which I realize isn't Richard Sherman or Cam Chancellor. But I think that's kind of an improvement. You weren't impressed with the win over the Eagles at all.
You are such a homer.
I'm asking you the question. I'm asking if you were impressed with the win at all. They held the highest scoring offense to 10 points.
I wasn't
week.
Impressed with the win. I was unimpressed with the Eagles.
Okay, that's fair.
That's kind of what my consensus was.
You're such a non-homer.
Because there were so many times during that game, they really just should have scored. Like, Wentz fumbling on the goal line, that was just like, it felt fluky to me. There was just so many weird fluky things about that game that really worked in Seattle's favor. And then my favorite part of that whole week was that I think it was Shaquille Griffin or one of the other corners who goes, you know, we've been hearing a lot of talk lately that people say we're not as good without the Legion of Boom. And we took that seriously.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, really? You've heard that lately?
Yeah, weird.
Or maybe that's just like common knowledge that you lose like, you know, three Pro Bowlers. Yeah, you're not as good.
Two Pro Bowlers. Easy. Earl Thomas is back. He was out. He was out when they got hurt, but he's black. Back. He's playing.
He is black.
He is black. And he's playing.
Yeah, I don't know, man. And you know what? This goes back to my whole thing that I keep talking about with you that you say that I'm just totally wrong on is that they keep getting a little bit worse every year. I'm not saying super worse.
Well, I know,
just a little bit worse every year.
I don't say you're wrong about that, but you go, the window's closing.
It is.
Well, sure, all windows are closing if you go by the most minuscule. I mean, you were literally just holding your hand up with like, how close can I get my fingers together? Just a little bit.
But it's very noticeable, but though. You go from Super Bowl win, Super Bowl appearance, losing in the playoffs, barely getting into the playoffs. Maybe this year you don't get to the playoffs. Okay. How much more does that ladder keep going down?
Does it just keep creeping down just a little bit? So what they have facing them this week is you have Seattle going to an 8-4 Jacksonville team. The first time they played in Jacksonville since 2005. You've got
That's
a team.
Weird to think about.
What's that?
That's weird to think about.
They but non-conference games, you play them once every 8 years, and the home and road really depends on how the schedule's set up. So, yeah.
That's crazy, though, that they haven't passed in that long a time. Oh, there was also a quote that Russell Wilson had that he said, I get ready for games by visualizing playing somewhere that I haven't played before.
Yeah.
Like, cut the crap out, dude.
He's like, I'll get pictures. I pull them up, and I take a look at the picture, and then I put myself in there, and I'm like, where are the things? Where's the shot clock? He said shot clock, too. It's not me misquoting. Where's the shot clock? Where's the fans? Where did my cheerleaders set up? Very important for me.
Where's my hot wife?
Where's Sierra and the kids going to be?
Yeah.
Which direction are the goalposts?
Well, so they have this hard stretch, right?
So right now, Jacksonville, then you have the Los Angeles Rams coming to town. Rams have a very big game this week.
They do.
Then you get the Cowboys with Zeke back.
Possibly. Oh, yeah. Well, I guess, yeah. He'll be back.
And then you have the Arizona Cardinals. That's how you finish out the season. What do you need to see to start to believe, or are you just going to be on the pessimistic side of things
Well, I'm not going to be too pessimistic because I actually
this is why I love the NFL season, because there is a defined put up or shut up moment in every season, and this is it for the Seahawks.
And I think they will put up, and honestly, I do think they will make the playoffs because
they have a chance to win their division. I mean, they control their own destiny because
they could, but I think the Rams will probably win the division. The Rams really should have won the last game that they played if Cooper Kupp didn't drop that touchdown pass. I mean.
Yeah, but he did. And
he did, but minuscule.
Okay,
very minuscule.
But he did. A win over the Rams, if they finish with a tied record, would give Seattle the home field advantage, or I'm sorry, the tiebreaker advantage. So they still have a chance to win it, even regardless of what you think. But go ahead with what they need to do to prove to you.
Well, they need to develop some type of running game.
Mike Davis.
Mike Davis looks pretty good.
Boom! You know,
the one part of the offense that I've been impressed with, though, is McKissick. Like, yeah. I feel like they got to work that dude in more next year. Like, they should put him at a slot position where you have him motioning in and shotgun.
They put him in wide receiver and he caught a deep ball last
I think
week.
They need to focus more on McKissick if they can, at least just this season, because the one thing that they lack more than anything else is variety. And I know that's just a duh statement, but it's really friggin' apparent to the fact that every single time Russell Wilson gets the ball in shotgun, he isn't looking downfield like a lot of people say. They go, oh, he always has his eyes downfield.
He does after he leaves the pocket.
Yeah, his eyes immediately go to, the first dude I got to
dodge?
Where
do I go?
Yes. And so I think if you keep doing this into the playoffs, it eventually the system will break. There's only one guy where he really, really thrives around this, and I think that it's meant to be that way, is Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers doesn't do it like Russell Wilson does. Russell Wilson gets the ball, and within a half second, he's out of the pocket. He's not even trying to see any formation of it. Aaron Rodgers will sit in the pocket all day if he wants to. But once he leaves, there always looks like there's a planned strategy about it. Russell Wilson just looks like he's running from the eventual ACL tear.
Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson both play the game at a different speed than the rest of the league. You have Aaron Rodgers, who everything slows down for him. He plays in this kind of slow, methodical, with all the chaos around him. He looks like he's always under control and playing slower. Russell Wilson just plays faster. Everything he does, he's running around, spinning around, looks like Fran Tarkenton, dodging traffic like Frogger, just running across and then hucking the ball up.
You sound like John Madden.
Yeah.
He's like Tarkenton.
Boom.
He's like Tarkenton. He's a little Frogger.
Yeah.
He's going beep, beep, beep across the street.
You happy with Jimmy Graham?
I'm surprised.
Nine touchdowns in 8 weeks.
Yeah, I'm surprised, man. Yeah. He's made it. Who would have known that he would be good in the end zone?
I don't know. That's weird. Everybody in the league except for Seattle for 3 years.
That's weird.
It's bizarre, but it's finally working.
Who would have thought to keep him out a good portion of the plays when you're not in the red zone? Yeah. But then when you're in the red zone,
rest him, get him in there, let him use his body.
I mean, I get it. He's really good at blocking, and you should have him in all your base sets. But
it's a good point. It's a good point. You want to run off of his power side.
Oh, dude. Watching some of those replays and Jimmy Graham blocking, it's not even like we can
it's
laugh.
Not blocking.
It's not even laughable. It's like, really? That dude's an NFL tight end?
Well, that's why he was trying to petition to be a wide receiver when they franchised him in New Orleans, right?
You really should.
Like, I'm not a tight end. I don't block anybody. What does that mean? Somebody block somebody.
I mean,
you
could still put him at slot, because even if you ran like off tackle plays, he would beat a corner in terms of blocking.
Sure.
Like, well, you're asking him to block DNs and outside linebackers. Like, he can't do that.
Yeah, just call him a wide receiver.
He could block a safety.
You'd have to pay him more, though, so I understand why they didn't do it.
Yeah, but he deserved the money.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So are you more excited for the final stretch of the NFL season? Because this, to me, is, again, it's not just the Seahawks. You look at the Rams, the Eagles, as they come down. The Rams are playing the Eagles this week. They have a chance to really compete for the best record in the NFC if they win. And obviously, the Eagles want home field advantage. More excited for the final stretch of the NFL season, which is my favorite time of year, or bowl season?
I'm kind of more excited for bowl season.
Are you really?
I think there are some great bowl games out there.
Outside of the college football playoff, what is there, one game that you're excited about?
I'm pumped for the Peach Bowl because I want to see what UCF's going to do against Auburn. I think that's a really good matchup because Auburn is so streaky. They can, you know, one minute
and
beat the crap out of Alabama, but then go play Georgia and get their ass kicked after kicking their ass earlier in the season. And UCF,
but they were also missing their top three running backs too, which
made
a big difference.
It's going to be great for UCF because it's the farewell to Scott Frost. I think that's going to be the one bowl game that I really want to watch because there's so many storylines surrounding it. That's what I like. I don't know. Why don't you like bowl games besides the playoff?
Well, they keep adding more bowl games. There's only like a handful of them that really matter. And I don't know. I mean, I guess there's a handful of NFL games that just are going to end up being trash because, I mean, you've got the Giants playing the Browns or whoever, and, you know, both teams are out of it. So I guess there's some bad NFL games too. But for me, it's just the idea that you don't know if people are going to show up and be interested in the game.
People are going to show up to the Celebration Bowl?
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, I fully expect in the next week or so, we're going to start to see the list of NFL players or NFL ready players that are going to sit out their bowl games. You're going to have teams that just show up and lay an egg. They're not going to be interested.
You're trying to tell me Troy's not going to get up for the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl?
No, Troy's always up for the game. Who are they playing against?
They are playing against North Texas.
North Texas.
Eagles probably
cares about that too. You get the one where you have nobody playing against somebody. Those are the ones. And you know Washington State will lose their bowl game, which is always fun.
And you know that Middle Tennessee is just not going to play well in the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl. I mean, everybody knows that.
All right, you've convinced me.
The Sherabundi Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl. That's seriously a friggin' bowl. Did you just hear
that? I know you're not making them up.
Go one more time. The Sherabundi Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl.
Where are the commas in that?
There's none. It's a statement.
One more time.
Sherabundi Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl. Akron and Florida Atlantic.
I don't know what words you're saying. Sherabundi.
Sherabundi Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl. That's a friggin' bowl game. What the hell is your bowl gift?
Take a look on StubHub and see what we can get tickets to the Sherabundi Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl. And maybe we'll go. See what ticket prices are to get in.
Do like a live broadcast?
Yeah. So let's see how much it costs to get in there, and maybe we'll do a live broadcast from that one. That sounds like an absolute hoot. You look up that, and we'll get to Crystal Balls next. Center and Saint, 1080 The Fan. Hey, welcome back. So this is a part of the show where we predict all the college football action.
All of it.
And there's one game today.
So we can predict Army and Navy.
Who you got?
Give me Army.
Are they playing it on land?
I think this year.
Yeah, you're going to want.
But they did see last year,
if you're
right?
Fighting on land, you want.
Could you imagine that?
Playing in water.
Just like everybody's in a scuba suit.
Well, you get Tim Tebow back, he'd walk on top of the water.
Ah, Christ joke.
No? Didn't do anything for you? How would you? The ball would just sit on top of the water. You couldn't be in scuba suits.
Well, you'd weigh the ball down.
Fumble it as it goes up to the top.
No, you'd make it out of some kind of metal that wasn't as buoyant.
That would be
the ultimate challenge.
The ultimate challenge.
That would be the ultimate challenge for people underwater to play football.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? People in scuba suits, fans in scuba suits. You got the concession people in scuba suits.
This is just so too stupid for me even to join in.
You got the photographers in scuba suits.
God, you're the worst.
You got Lee Corso down there.
Shut up.
But he's not wearing the bottom half of his scuba suit.
He's wearing like a duck head.
He's wearing one of the really old scuba suits. The ones that are like the round with the.
And then just a thong and flippers. Yeah. Now you got me. Dang it. All right, so anyways, there's no college football games today, so we're going to focus on the NFL moving into things. I mentioned it earlier, the AFC West has kind of imploded. The Chiefs started out the hottest team in football, last team to have their first loss, and now they are 6-6, tied with the Raiders. They play at 10 a.m. tomorrow on CBS, Kansas City favored by 4.5 points. Who you got?
I take the Chiefs in this one just because, I don't know. There's no point to even take the Chiefs. That's the hardest part about the AFC West. It's just that every single team kind of looks like crap. I know you point back to the Chargers.
Chargers!
For some reason, you love the Chargers.
No. What I said is the Chargers are the most crapped on team in the NFL, where the city that has them, the new city that has them, doesn't want them. Their old city will never take them back. They just left, and like everybody's like, meh.
Yeah, I mean, I take the Chiefs in this one, but this is obviously one of the most disappointing parts of the NFL this season, I think, was the AFC West. You really looked at all these teams and you thought that you had three legitimate teams that could be even competing for the Super Bowl. And now you have a team that will probably win the division with a losing record or at 500 and get in the playoffs.
Well, they play each other a bunch down the stretches, and the NFL's brilliant setting it up where the final game is against a division opponent. But yeah, Denver has fallen off the map completely, has no quarterback. And wait till they have Eli next year. They'll be right back at the top. But yeah, it's very interesting. I'm going to take the Raiders in this one. I think the Chiefs, something's broken, and I don't know what it is, but they can't get it figured out. But I will take the Chargers to win.
Maybe everybody just tuned out Andy Reid.
Yeah, also at 10 o'clock on CBS. I'm not sure which game we'll get out here. Hopefully they don't. They'll probably give us a freaking Raiders game. Ugh. Vikings at Panthers.
Ooh.
Minnesota favored by 2.5.
Yeah, I'll definitely take Minnesota in this one. But, you know, the Panthers really have to make a push. They're kind of in that spot where they now technically are in the wild card spot, right?
Yes.
Yeah, where they could really lose it. The NFC is going to be the most exciting thing to watch in these next 3 weeks because you have Aaron Rodgers coming back pretty soon.
Yep.
And the Packers are staying afloat, man.
Packers have the Browns this weekend. Yes. So this is the last Hundley game.
All they got to do is win that game and then let Rodgers take control and see what happens when it comes to the wild card. So, I mean, I'm going to take the Vikings in this one, but I'm super stoked to watch the rest of the NFC.
Yeah, I think, and the funny thing is the South, the NFC South has become the best division of football. You have the Saints, and you've got the Falcons and the Panthers all right there. So it's going to be exciting to see what happens down the stretch there. I mentioned it already. Eagles at Rams. This is 125 on Fox. Rams favored only by a point at home.
Hmm. You know, you expect the Eagles to kind of bounce back after last week in Seattle.
Sure.
But with the Rams, you know that they're going to really try to make this push. Their win against Arizona, to me, was probably the best win that they had all year. And I know that's kind of weird to say just because it's Arizona and they look like they're failing. But this was the first game that they really looked like they were in complete control the entire time. I mean, there was never a time in that game where I thought that the Rams would lose. But there have been other times in the season. So I'll take the Rams.
It's interesting. The only time I watched the Eagles all year was last week, and obviously not very impressive against the Seahawks. I've watched the Rams a little bit just because they're the surprise story of the NFL. So my inclination is to go Rams on this as well. The funny thing is the Rams winning doesn't really set them up any better for next week because the head-to-head against the Seattle is the big game that matters.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they'll overlook it because even if they go in off of a loss at 8-4, or I guess it'd be 9-4, and Seattle's at 9-4, then essentially it's a tiebreaker. But if they go in at, you know, 10-3, it's the same thing.
But so, I think McVay's got those dudes focused. Like that to me, it's not just the Rams that are the most surprising story in football. It's Sean McVay.
Sure.
The guy's 31 years old, and he's able to basically coach these adult men to bring them in on his message and say, look, I know I'm younger than most of you and don't even have as much experience as most of you, but if you follow what I'm trying to preach here and on the defensive side of the ball, you just listen to Wade Phillips, this is going to work. And it's obviously worked so far.
Yeah. So I'm going to take the Eagles in this one, though. I just think they're a better team than what I saw last week. And
they're the most complete team, I think, in the NFL.
Yeah. And I would watch that game. But again, you have the Seahawks playing and that game will be on our local television unless you've got the, you know, whatever, the DirecTV package. You'll be watching the Seahawks at Jaguars, both teams 8-4.
One Jags. Of them rich guys with the red zone.
Well, the red zone's one thing, but then having the, like, if you need to watch the Rams.
I can't watch red zone because I feel like I'm not even watching football.
I can't watch red zone because I don't have it in my package.
Oh.
Wow. I've watched it before. I don't really care to have it either. I agree with you. It's a bounce around. It's a highlight show. It's very bizarre.
It's too much. Like I almost watch Sunday football like I kind of would, or most people would, a baseball game. Like I kind of go in and out. I'm not the kind of dude who'll sit there and like really pay a great deal of attention for like 30 minutes at a time. I'll just turn it on and do some stuff around the house and pop in every once in a while.
I pick one game and I'm watching it.
Are you?
Every week I try to watch the Seahawks game as usually, but if they're not playing, I'll sit down and I'm either going to watch the whole game or I'm not going to watch. I do the same thing with college football. I just pick one game. I always lose the rhythm flipping back. But yeah, just pick a game going, I like this game.
Yeah.
And then if it gets out of hand, then I'll switch it off. But I kind of try to look through the schedule and go, all right, what game do I think is going to be the most competitive, has the most on the line, watch that whole game. It's just kind of the way I do it.
The Beavers this year, I literally just watched for like, I think 5 minutes. That's not game time. That's real time. I watched 5 minutes before I knew we were going to lose. And then I popped back in at the end of the third quarter. But I go, oh, yeah, we're still losing.
Probably the responsible way to do it. Seahawks at Jags, 2.5 points for the Jags. Who you got?
Let's go with, I got to go with the Seahawks because you know Bortles is going to Bortle this thing. The defense is incredible. Leonard Fournette is probably the biggest surprise in terms of rookies this year. You kind of thought maybe he'd come in, get injured, and then just play like crap. But he's consistently been pretty good, barring a couple injuries.
You talked about the window closing on the Seahawks and everything. This is a very different team than we saw at the beginning of the season. Even losing players on the back end, if your weakness is now your secondary on that defense, I don't think Bortles has enough to take advantage of it. And I cannot wait. I'm rooting for the Seahawks as always, but they need to win this game because I need to see the Rams Seahawks for the division next week. I cannot wait for that game.
I need it.
I must have it. That's it, kids. That's our show. I appreciate everybody joining in. Have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll be back next Saturday with more Sinner and Saint.
まああの時とはもう状況も違いますし、もちろん同じ球団ではありますけど、その、ね、全部が全部、あの時と同じかと言われたらそうではないので、それは全く白紙にはなってくるんじゃないかなと。
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.